straight out of Compton and having exotic DNA, the racist treatment of Meghan has been impossible to ignore. Princess Michael of Kent wore an overtly racist brooch in the Duchess's company. A BBC host compared the couple's newborn baby to a chimpanzee. Do you think that they were forced out of the church, that they took this stand, or that they were forced out of the royal family, that they took this stand to protest racism?
You know, the answer is, I don't know. Let me tell you what I do know. What I do know is that we in this country, because I don't know all the details of Britain, but I know the United States of America, and I know that we have some issues of racism that we must address that are deeply entrenched in our history, and we have to face those issues and that past. The reality of what's going on right now with the Breonna Taylor situation, this woman who was innocent and she was gunned down, or George Floyd, and it goes back to Emmett Till. We've got some issues that are longstanding, that have deep roots in racism in this country. And we must face those questions now and work together to find the reforms and the changes that will be necessary to right wrongs, and then also to create the kind of community among us where there is room and space for all of us, Black, white, brown,
we have to leave it there. Bishop Curry, thank you so much for being with us. The first African-American bishop of the Episcopal Church. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8 a.m. Next up, we have The Gap.
Hello, hello to the world, Portland, Tolomas, Hood River, the entire galaxy and beyond. I'm Tammy. It is 8 o'clock and you're listening to The Gap. We're reminding it, we're bridging it, and everything in between. On the line with me is the lovely Althea. Althea, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
After all that, that's what you're going to give me, Althea?
Oh, you know, it's fine. Really rush through the greeting. Sorry, I'm doing okay. Having a cup of tea.
Yes.
You know,
getting
it started this morning. Yeah. Well, because I take creamer in my coffee, and I didn't want my. I was thinking about my vocal performance on air. Didn't want to introduce dairy into that situation just yet.
Just yet. In the studio with us today is Ty. Ty, thank you so much for all of your hard work this week and this morning. And so, hello. How are you?
Hello. Pretty good. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. It's good. A lot of things have happened. We were not here last week. A lot of things happened in between last week and this week. All over and all, I guess, in all aspects of life, from Big G, that's what I call big government, to RBG, passing, and of course the Breonna Taylor, I guess, non-indictment yesterday, the day before, and pretty much everything that happened in between. Althea, am I missing some other huge world-shattering news?
I mean, world-shattering, I feel like the threshold for that has just been so raised, so when we were brainstorming of all of the things that we haven't gotten to talk about since we weren't on air last week, it was a lot of things that we didn't get to talk about. You know,
yeah.
The president saying he's not going to leave off, he won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power. So that's also fun. That's not a good frame. I sat with it and I didn't like it.
I'm giving you space to hold that. Hold that.
I don't know if this sarcasm engine hasn't revved up yet. I apologize.
You know what?
It's messed up.
We're going to let the caffeine do its thing for you. But in the meanwhile.
Thank you.
I just wanted to highlight some of those things. You know, obviously, Democracy Now, Amy Goodman, you know, was talking about it. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of those things that isn't going to be necessarily the subject of our conversation for this AM hour. But yeah, I mean, some things are huge, so you have to kind of acknowledge them. And there's a lot of anxiety around these news that people are hearing. And, it's, you know, people are scared, people are anxious, and I just, I want to personally say, it'll be okay, don't worry about it, you're good, we'll be good, but don't worry about it. You know, people die and people are born, things burn and things get put out, you know? We got this, got to stay Portland strong, as we know how to do. But yeah, so just hope everyone is okay. You know, I hope that everyone is in decent spirits. And yeah, also very happy that you tuned into KBOO Portland. And in case you may have not known or didn't realize, we are still in our membership drive, and we are still, you know, taking funds and taking donations in order to keep this free community resource free and community volunteer driven, community led. And last week we did say that if anyone was interested in donating, you'll be gifted. If you go online and go to kboo.fm/give, you can, in the notes, say that you want to give because of the gap, and we will, I'm saying we will, gift you an audio message. So if it's an audio message that you want it to be as your outgoing voicemail, like, hey, Henry can't come to the phone right now, but leave a message, this is Tammy from the gap, or if you want it to be an audio message that you just play whenever your uncle is being creepy at Thanksgiving dinner or, you know, everyday life, I'll say, hey, get out of here, this is Tammy from the gap. I'll see you. Do you have any other ones?
I think before I referenced that I could guide you in a meditation, again, that would probably be cribbed from a meditation master, but if you want me to do it, I will, because that's how much we appreciate the people who support this radio station. And also, you know, is about what sorts of things our particular brand of vocal styling could be used for. We'd also be open to that. I'll read your poetry. Maybe only 5 minutes, but I will.
We will reenact one scene from Bad Girls, or excuse me, from Mean Girls. Not the Bad Girls Club. From Mean Girls or Freaky Friday.
Oh, yeah, wow, yeah.
One scene out of one of those. Is there a Lindsay Lohan scene? Maybe, maybe not. But yeah, I mean,
any Lindsay Lohan movie will do it, but only if she's involved. And none of the reality shows that she was on, that doesn't count. Her professional career.
Oh man, professional careers. Speaking of which,
I was just gonna say, this is a non relevant factoid, but there was like a TV show for a little while, I think it was on like Bravo or E, of like Lindsay Lohan trying to like run a resort in Greece.
And oh, she did.
Yeah, like Lohan Club or something was what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a couple episodes, and they're like definitely trying to like crib whatever goes on Vanderpump Rules, but she was just like, I don't like this, or I like this person, and I don't like that, and just like sitting in a caftan and on like the beach and ordering people around. It was, you know, an interesting foray into reality television.
You know, this is a slippery slope towards the hashtag Free Britney movement, which I think that definitely deserves its own full hour of conversation. We'll save that, and also other conspiracy theories that may or may not be true, but that's the whole point of conspiracies, right? But you don't know till you know, or you don't know and you just have to believe. Speaking of believing, or should I say disbelieving, we have our watch coming up next. Ty, if you could hit it, please.
This is TikTok Watch 2020 with the GAP hosts, Althea Billing and Tammy Upteas.
I was going to say good evening. This is a good evening, but it's not. Good evening. Good morning.
Good morning. Good some time of day. This is the gap. We're talking about TikTok. So as friends of the show might remember, we do like to talk about TikTok on this program. And wouldn't you know it, we are right up on the deadline of TikTok potentially being banned in the United States. But as of, I think, yesterday, a district court judge ordered that the Trump administration has until today to either delay the TikTok ban or file legal papers that defend the ban. And if they don't do that, then the judge might grant a temporary injunction so that it wouldn't be banned in the United States. Quick recap, why would you want to ban TikTok in the United States? Well, the service reason is that it's owned by a Chinese parent company called ByteDance. And there's been allegations of, you know, what is it doing with user data and concerns about national security, especially for Americans. You know, we have this ongoing trade war with China that the president started a couple years ago. And so obviously not a lot of, is there good blood? I was going to say there is bad blood. I don't know if there's an opposite version of that phrase. Oh, there's good blood between us. This blood is fine. And so basically the president back in August, I believe, said that he would ban TikTok unless it sold off its U.S. assets to a new company. There's also the matter of the democratization of information, I guess, that you see on TikTok, especially with teens getting informed about political issues, teens embarrassing the president at his Tulsa rally around Juneteenth, where they reserved tickets and then didn't show. So that was embarrassing. So there's also like some personal professional reasons that Trump might not be such a fan of TikTok. I've also seen
Claudia Conway.
Claudia Conway, who is the daughter of Kellyanne Conway, who has very different views from her mother, and she's like well-known on TikTok and is working to emancipate herself, and Kellyanne just quit the Trump White House. So there's a lot of stuff going on TikTok, and I also kind of want to say that it's my personal opinion that the national security aspect might be a little bit overblown just based on, like, the heightened level of scrutiny that, you know, people have towards things that are owned by China. But there was this deal that they were working out for Oracle and Walmart, weirdly enough, to buy the U.S. operations, but Trump said that he might not. He's been flip-flopping back and forth, which isn't necessarily a new thing, but it's led to it being really confusing and unstable for people who, like, are invested in TikTok, who, like, make money on TikTok, all of this kind of stuff. People who have, like, been able to find an audience there by saying that he might not agree to the deal that he was previously said he was going to agree to because ByteDance, the Chinese parent company, might still have some small amount of stock in the U.S. operations. So it's a little bit of an uncertain situation, but that's kind of what's going on with TikTok right now. I mean, I think it's one of those things that the president probably wanted to have cleaned up and shut down before the election, if possible. But it looks like with that the order from the district court judge, it might not happen in that amount of time. And obviously there's some negotiating that needs to be done with ByteDance and whether or not they retain stock. And then other things that are going on TikTok, Tammy knew about this, but I didn't. Teens are filing down their own teeth. Please don't do that. It's not good for them. I got some dental work done this week. I'm in Seattle, so it's a little different circumstances. Don't do that to yourself.
Even if you're in Seattle, you shouldn't file your teeth. That's what I think.
Yeah. No. My big statement. No, Seattle, if you're in Seattle, you know, go for it. File them down to nothing. The new
no, don't,
no,
do not. No,
don't do that. That's sarcasm.
But it's, you know, last time we were talking, whenever you do your TikTok segment, thank you, Ophelia Billings, the TikTok reporter. you always bring up at least like one or two trends that are happening on the app. And, you know, I want, you know, some listeners who might not be, you know, very familiar with the app might say, why are you even talking about this? Well, this is something that millions upon millions of people interact with on a day-to-day basis. And they're people that aren't necessarily just, you know, 12, 13-year-olds, although there are, you know, very young kids on there. But some of these people, a lot of these people, are what? Ding, 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 first-time voters. So any type of information that they're exposed to is in one way or another going to educate them about the, you know, political process. So if TikTok is in a way taking a stand, and its stand is seems to be oppositional to, you know, the current administration, then I can see why, you know, like you mentioned, you know, this thing could be problematic, especially before election, and why they probably wanted it to have be in a nice, neat boat, you know, tied, but like tied up and, you know, ready to be put away before the election. But
yeah,
all these type of things and trends, you know, that you talk about, whether they are things like registering for a rally and not showing up, and just making sure that like the tickets get registered out without anyone actually showing up for the optics, or, you know, shopping cart abandonment, which causes sales to kind of incorrect sales predictions for the future for different companies, which is what people were doing for like the MAGA shirts. So if you're seeing things like people filing their teeth, it makes me wonder, oh my God, how many people are doing this? Because if this actually has repercussions that you actually see it, for example, like in the Tulsa rally, you saw that there was visibly not as many people as people who signed up. I think they were saying about 1 million people signed up, and it was not, I think, who was it? It was like one of Beyonce or something talking about how I was performing there last year and I sold out the place. So, it, you know, there is a good amount of people that are active on this app, and that it is creating connections and it is creating community in the internet world, you know, but it has real life, IRL repercussions. Don't file your teeth.
Don't file your teeth. I think I just realized something, that I had a dream last night about doing TikTok dances in public and like being embarrassed about it, which is not something that I regularly do, at all. I mean, like my little sister does, and TikTok dancing is part of the app. Obviously it's not all of it, but I'm just like, I just had like an aha moment of, whoa, I had a dream last night that I was standing outside of a bank trying to do the renegade. But it also, part of what you were saying about like the idea of trying to button things up before the election, it brought to mind this thing that broke last night, that another judge ruled that the census 2020 will have to run through October 31st. So that also won't be buttoned up neatly in time for the election, which I thought was really interesting, and likely that there won't be a vaccine before the election. And if there is,
oh, I could have told you that.
Right, but I don't know who's saying, oh, there'll be a vaccine. It's like, but if there is one, I would just be really, really cautious about it, because there is like a real incentive for that, again, like I said, to be coronavirus is solved, reelect me, that kind of
rhetoric. There's a lot of incentive for things to be tied up in a nice little bow. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But there's just absolutely nothing that, like, no, there's just everything is on its own right is falling apart, you know? So I don't think that in 39 or 41 days. Well, I don't think that by the time of the election, you know, all of this stuff is going to get, you know, it's buttoned up and ready to present and be at its finest, and you know, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be messy. It's not going to be an election day like we're used to. It's probably going to be an election week or an election month. That's my opinion. The thing that's just going to keep, you know, coming in, and so that's the fear, you know. So, you know, but not to get off the TikTok topic, but no alliteration meant, you know, when Trump was saying, well, I'm not going to accept I'm not going to accept the ruling. I guess, does he mean it? You know, in my mind, I was like, oh, he won't accept it because, yeah, you know, because it's probably going to take more than one day for the ruling to come in. So it's probably going to take like a day or two or three or maybe even a week. But then the reports that I saw that people were saying, he's not going to leave office because he's, you know, this, that, and the other. I got confused because do we think that is going to take one day to get all the, if we are going with the ballot, like with the mail-in ballots, or like that just seems a little silly to me. It's going to take more than one day. It's a lot of people.
Right. And just
it takes time.
It does take time. And I think, yeah, like setting up expectations ahead of time is probably helpful.
Yeah, and I think it'd be unprecedented, only because we're living in seriously unprecedented times. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think maybe if there's someone who thinks like Trump will not leave the White House once it's, you know, if he's not elected, like there's mandates, there's rules to this stuff. Like, people don't just like squat at the White House.
Finders keepers, you guys. Get out of here. I was here first. You can go sit in the Capitol building.
To have at least some sort of at least, like, you know, you can't, yeah, no. I know the squatters' rights are a thing, but I think there's maybe one house in America where that's not a thing, and it's on 1600 Penn Ave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, thank you so much for the TikTok watch. I will not file my teeth.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. I heard that people aren't able to download the app anymore, or there was a time when they weren't able to download the app anymore, but
I think it might still be in the app store, but you know, get it while it's hot, you know.
That's it. How they say, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I see that we're almost about halfway through, and we do want to keep going with, I guess, part two of our conversation for today, which is going to be about emotional labor, and we do have a clip to play you in just a little bit. But before we break to our short musical break, I just wanted to remind you that you are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. My name is Tammy. On the line with me is my better half, my reason to breathe and wake up each morning. I'll see ya.
Hey. What a compliment.
There you go. Responsibility. Give me this unbelievable intro, and you're just like, yeah, sure, I'll take it, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'm too used to it. I've gotten too comfortable. One of these days you should come in and say something kind of mean, and I'll be like, whoa.
She's all right.
I can get some pepper in my pot about that.
Some peppers in your paws. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about the pepper in Althea's paws, and also to talk about emotional labor, what it is, and how do you deal with it or not deal with it? All these questions and more coming up next on The Gap. But before, here's a little dreamy tune for you. Oh, this is The Gap, and you're listening to us. I'm Tammy, and you're listening to The Gap. That was Fleetwood Mac, and it puts me in such a sweet spot, and that's where I lost myself for a moment. Althea, that was for you.
Thank you.
What a great tune. Oh, man, that just... Just give me, you know, there's just some tunes that just put me in such a good spot, you know. And while we handpicked that for a special somebody, because the subject is an emotional labor, I hope that, you know, I think this is a good precursor, you know. It's kind of like a, let me get you in a good vibe, in a good emotional place, and now we're going to talk about the difficult stuff.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's something that, like, we've kind of, like, been circling this idea on the show before and talking in our show about, like, neighborliness and, you know, hesitation in interacting with people, especially when it comes to politics and stuff like that, and figuring out where it is powerful in yourself of when you can, you know what, like, I'll engage with you. We might have different views, but that might be able to be cleared up and not having such a hesitation in dealing with people who, like, we believe think differently to us. But what we haven't necessarily drilled down on entirely is the emotional labor aspect of it. And it's like, it's an interesting concept. And I remember when someone finally, like, whenever it was that I finally found out about emotional labor, I was like, oh, that's what I've been doing. Oh, that's why, like, sometimes I'll have an interaction, and at the end, and I try to, like, you know, give this person the benefit of the doubt. I try to, like, express, you know, go with them in this conversation in hopes of it going somewhere good. And it feels, and at the end of it, it doesn't go that way. And you just sort of feel like a rag that got wiped around, wrung out, and left out to dry.
You're wiped out, depleted.
Yeah, wiped out, quite literally. I stumbled upon that accidentally. But yeah, it's kind of touchy, you know, and that I think what I've come to arrive at partially through this show is that there's some people that I am willing to do emotional labor for, and that it costs me less to do it because it's people that I'm invested in my life, but that there are other people when there's a certain threshold where it's like, hey, I got to put that wall up. It's not necessarily worth it for me to go down that road with you.
Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes emotional labor, we have a little clit from the Entropy Systems YouTube channel. They got some great stuff on there, but they have a little bit of tidbit, kind of giving an explanation, you know, more like, a less convoluted explanation of what emotional labor is, because it's a concept that's pretty new. You know, like you said, when you put your finger on it, it's like, yes, that's exactly what because it is laborious, it's strenuous, you feel spent. But and I wanted to ask you about there's a part of emotional labor, like you said, where it's like, am I going to explain this situation to a person that, we'll explain a little bit later, but, you know, there's this part of explaining to a person, like, why what they said was kind of, like, inappropriate, or why the situation is, you know, hurts you or pains you, or is this not okay? And that itself is, you know, laborious. But then there is the part, which for me I find very, very labor-intensive, of not reacting, which is also a type of emotional labor for me. You know what I mean? And,
right.
Yeah, so sometimes, like, I think even
censoring
not reacting
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Or even like, I think pretty much every single person who's ever worked as a server or like a barista or something can definitely understand. And I'm sorry, but no, $15 an hour is enough for is like, if I could quantify that type of labor, it's not going to be, you know, $15 an hour. I'll tell you what.
And the people we should trade service industry stories sometimes.
Oh, this is a call-in show, so if you want to talk about it, that's right. But we do have a little clip that I want to play, only because they give, like, a different overlook of what it means to them. But before that, I wanted to remind you that KBOO is in the midst of its membership drive. And if you want to help maintain diverse voices up in the air and a community, this free community resource, free and for the community, if you like programs like this or the music programs or all the programs that we have on here, you know, you can help, you can donate, you can support. You can go to kboo.fm/give and show your monetary support to KBOO if you can. I know times are hard, so if you do have it in you, KBOO is going to be going until the end of October. So anytime between now and then, we really greatly appreciate it. And if you do find it that you are able to donate, when you go into the webpage at kboo.fm/give, you can write in the gap for the program, and we'll gladly, you know, you can leave a little text for us to record for you, and we'll gladly do it. You know, just be mindful. If it's yelling at your grandpa, hey, grandpa, cut it out over there. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. kboo.fm/give. Ty, could you play that... that clip that I have for you about emotional labor?
So the term emotional labor was first coined in 1983 by sociologist Arlie Hochschild in a book called The Managed Heart, Commercialization of Human Feeling. Basically, in this book, it talks about how we have commercialized emotion. And emotional labor is using emotion to make another person feel a certain way, whether you have to fake that emotion or not. Anyone who has worked in any sort of customer-facing job knows what this is, even if you didn't necessarily know the term for it. Smiling at an angry customer and reassuring them that no, there really is no further discount for this item, or an Uber driver keeping calm as a very drunk group of friends gets into the back of his car, a stewardess on an airplane smiling sweetly at all the passengers to make them feel assured and safe on the plane. These are all examples of emotional labor. Although the original book talks specifically about emotional labor in the workplace, there's also a level of societal emotional labor that many people have to carry. This is especially prevalent in minority communities, people of color, the LGBTQ+ community, people with disabilities. They are expected by society to perform the emotional labor of staying calm in the face of prejudice and taking the time to teach people about said prejudice and how to stop doing it. Anybody who has been put in this situation knows it is exhausting. There are some people, I consider myself one of them, who are really gung-ho about, yes, let me teach you, but not everybody is, and not everybody should have to be. But that is the emotional labor that society expects of us.
Thank you so much. That was from the Entropy System YouTube page. It's on there. There is more to that. That was just a little bit from there. Althea, any thoughts, any opinions?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great description of what it is, and I appreciate the breadth of the definition, because I think for me, like, what comes to mind as emotional labor a lot of times is having to have a really uncomfortable conversation with someone, maybe when I didn't sign up for it, and having to hold space for feelings that are not my doing, which I think she acknowledges, but also thinking about being in a customer service role. Like, I've been a waitress, I've been a barista, you know, people asking questions and sort of doubting your intelligence. Like, do you really know if this cheese is pasteurized? Yeah, I do. It is. It's okay. Like, I'm not going to lie, but I'm also not going to go to the kitchen to get you the package of cheese for you to look at out here.
I wish,
you know, balancing it. Balancing it with both. Go home if you want different cheese. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah,
it's rough.
But in thinking about, like, having to have conversations with people that, I mean, for me, a lot of it comes to, like, politics and people's rights and not having had the same source material for a lot of understanding of different things. It's tough because it's a situation where it's not fair necessarily to fall onto you or to anybody to have to take that on, to have to educate somebody about something that really they probably should already know, but sometimes it is for the greater good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think especially in time like this where I think most people have questions and they want to ask questions and they just feel like scared, you know, or people don't want to take on that emotional labor, or people even get like upset. But I don't blame them. But how can we ever get to a point where everyone can talk if emotional labor isn't? I mean, someone is going to have to take on that emotional labor. Like, it is what it is. And, you know, right. When we were talking earlier last night about it, I was wondering if other feelings, besides that feeling, as you said, holding space or feeling uncomfortable, if other feelings like perhaps shame or guilt also constitute as a type of emotional labor. Because, let's say a situation happened and now you were corrected and the person had to take time out of, you know, they exerted emotional labor trying to correct the situation. The situation was corrected, and now the person who was corrected is left with this, maybe, maybe not all people, but perhaps they're left with this feeling of shame and guilt that they've wronged the person, they've wronged the community. Maybe they were just, you know, felt like, oh, that was really stupid of me. Things like that happen, and you see less and less of the person, then it, you know, becomes its own thing, or maybe not, you know. So is that also a type of emotional labor? And personally, I think it is, you know. But I think I would love to get people's opinions, and you can call in at 503-231-8187. This is a call-in radio show. I've always wondered, like, especially, like, you know, when I ask my elders of, like, how do you deal? Like, at what point do you know, like, this is, as Celeste says, a teachable moment, and what is just chalk it up to the game? Like, this is, don't even bother with this. You know, like, at what point, when do you know to exert that emotional labor? Because it could be, like you said, if it doesn't take and that conversation goes nowhere and it's like talking to a wall, then what? Then that's like, if you like burnt a loaf of bread that you just want, you know, like it's the same level of like, darn, you just wasted your time on this where you could have been doing something positive, you know, instead right. of like, oh, I just went to work and you didn't get paid. Imagine you worked an hour and didn't get paid.
Right. Totally. You know? Well, and it's such a funny thing to have happen to yourself, because you do end up, it is something that people can and do get paid for. Emotional labor, not necessarily interpersonally, but I find it super frustrating, and you and I were talking about this previously, especially when someone comes into a conversation when, like, we're talking about a topic matter that, in my experience, I might have more knowledge about, but whoever I'm dealing with it doesn't come at it from, like, a listening perspective, but more from a devil's advocate kind of perspective, or like that this conversation is actually, we're actually adversaries. And those kind of part of a through line that I've connected over time is trying to figure out if we're having a good faith discussion. Are we having the same discussion, or is the goal for you for us to come to a greater understanding of a particular topic matter or of each other? Or is the goal for you to kind of like push my buttons, get a rise out of me, get me to sort of laugh uncomfortably because of the things that you've been telling me?
Interesting. I think there's like some people walking around this earth that think that that uncomfortable laugh that they hear people make all the time when they make jokes is how people laugh, when it's like, no, this isn't a real laugh. This is just uncomfortable because... Say, I know what you mean of like the, you know, the people that I remember, especially like in college, you would see that a lot, or like in high school when people are just kind of figuring out like the, you know, kind of like the social norms and the limitations and how far they can say things, you know. I definitely remember, like, I mean, all the time, especially when you know, when young boys would start fighting each other, you know, it's like, it started off as a play fight, and whoa, did it escalate, you know? Or
right,
you know, and it's interesting. I wonder. These are really good questions. Ty, do we have anyone on the line, or do you want to add anything to the conversation?
No, the line, it's all quiet.
Okay, cool. Well, if anyone wants to call in, you can do so at 503-231-8187. Talk about emotional labor. What does that mean to you? Do you have any?
How do you know when it's worth doing? What's your metric on knowing if you should do the emotional labor? I would love to hear what people have to say.
Yes, and you can call in 503-231-8187. You know, in tandem with what you're saying earlier about like the neighborliness and the emotional labor, you know, if you see like your neighbor's dog, for example, and they leave him out in the rain, you know, and you don't know this neighbor very well, and maybe, you know, they just don't seem like the type of people that you just be friends with, no matter, you know, just they're like, well, you know, you got your friends, you have your vibes, and they just give off different vibes. Now, if you see their dog out in the rain, I wonder, like, do you try to have a conversation with them first, or do you, like, go to animal control first? You know, like, where is that neighborliness versus, like, assuming, like, oh, I don't even want to talk to this person because they, I don't know, they just the most arbitrary thing. They have tulips in front of their houses, and I freaking hate tulips so much, and tulips are the worst thing in the world. And they just happen to have tulips in front of their, you know, in front of their house, which is completely arbitrary to what they might be like as a human being, unless you associate tulips with, you know, only horrible human beings like tulips. So, sure. Thank you very much.
Annalisa,
how are you?
Oh, good morning. And I like to compliment you two women on your excellent new program, The Gap. I sure like your articulation and emotional labor. I listened, of course, to that little piece, and that was excellent, the phrase emotional labor. And mm-hmm. Just talking for myself on this moment, because I've just went through a month or 5 weeks of enormous emotional labor that then turns into physical labor, because your body, you know, your body starts telling you to quit already with the emotional labor. And that's what I right now am recuperating from. However, my main point was with when I heard you talk about emotional labor is the women, and for the first time last night, by coincidence, because I have wanted to call in about this for a while, a woman, I don't know who she is or who she was, talking about what women do right now and the extra, both emotional and physical labor that I now will call it, have to put in during this pandemic. Even when there are two parents in the relationship, when in this case, and it's not always the same, it's sometimes reversed, in this case where the husband goes back to work and immediately the mother, the woman who works from home and has a very responsible essential job working from home, then also has to take the education, schooling and education of her children. That is not shared anymore. And so and of course there are millions of women, mothers, parents, that have the same, problems or dilemma or extra workload. And it's not mentioned enough that they are the invisible but completely essential people. So I wanted to mention that. But last night I heard somebody finally mention the women at home that take on enormous tasks. So, but thank you enormously for your program. And
thank you so much.
And don't let, or I cannot say that because I do it myself, when you let the emotional turn into the physical, it's time to put the brakes on and say that there's my line. I have had that kind of principle most of my adult life where there is a line that I can finally not tolerate anymore. So then I say, well, that's my line. And so now I'm relaxing and getting over my physical tiredness from the emotional labor. Thank you very much.
That's
Thank
good.
You for your program. And I hope you will stay
yeah,
on.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good day.
Bye. You too.
You too. Thank you.
We have Michelle on the line.
Oh, Michelle. Cool. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Ty.
There's my line.
For this program. And can you hear me?
Oh,
hi,
yes,
Michelle. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, ladies, so much for this program and this topic and all the things that are addressed here on KBOO. I don't know how we'd get by without you. And I have to thank the last caller. Unfortunately, I think she kind of addressed the only things I really kind of was in call about, because otherwise I think it's a lot of us being an echo chamber. We're all feeling that emotional drain, that emotional energy. And I was going to say, where's the line? Well, for me personally, physically, do you get exhausted, and then mentally you can't focus because you're thinking about these arguments or these discussions supposedly, or, you know, I think we feel it, we manifest it in these other parts of our lives, and we really have to be careful and pay attention because they're really insidious. You don't see them in front of you until it's too late. We tend to, especially as caregivers, whether women or men, but particularly women with all our roles, we don't have time to address these things. They just kind of, we keep going on, and they build up and build up. I once had somebody say I had a sealed box, and what happens is I shove everything down in there, and then it's only so strong, and man, is it strong. But when it blows, oh, the messes, right? And whether it's a physical breakdown, literally, or a relationship breakup, or you. So it's being very careful, I think, in looking at our lives and our personal lives, what mentally and physically the effects of what we're doing has on it. And that's any relationship. These new ones that we're having online are just compounding our everyday work and marital or physical relationships. And I guess that's really all I have to say is everybody take care, and we really need that extra time and self-care right now.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle.
And thank you guys again.
What we said. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Keep up the good work, and all the best to everybody, to you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, Thea, that was a lot to unpack there. Is there anyone else on the line, guys?
No.
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
Let's get into it.
It's a lot.
I thought it was.
Thank you all for calling in.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that both Annalisa and Michelle brought up that physical toll. That's kind of the signal of, oh, I've done too much. I overdid it. I now feel physically bad for work that I was doing emotionally for someone else. I'm curious about if there's ways to kind of put the brakes on before that happens, right? It's all well and good to say, okay, I did too much. I hurt myself. I need to go recuperate versus what are those check-ins as something is happening where we know that it's going to be emotionally taxing? How can we know ahead of time of like, okay, I'm coming up to my limit as opposed to we've blown way past my limit and now I feel like I've been used in this situation and I need to go like stare at a wall for a while and not think about anything. That's what I do, at least.
Yeah, that sounds like a healthy coping mechanism.
I have to wonder
if something is already at the physical point of it. If you're already in physical pain, whether it is a headache or I know when I get to the point where I'm at point of no return, I feel like I might be having a heart attack. I feel my blood starting to boil, like literally.
Yeah.
Not literally, God forbid, that would be horrible and physically impossible, but I feel like this type of like I feel like a heat wave, just like something just hit me, you know, just like a demon's whisper or something, and then I'm like, I can't, so I have to like log off, or I have to, you know, just step away from the situation. Just like I'm like, oh, I have a phone call. I just have to walk away, and then I just don't come back. But at that point, I'm already. I have to now. I'm doing emotional labor, the type of self care or emotional labor to the point of like, all right, calm down. It's okay, you know. But it doesn't go. It goes to the point where it's like, this person, you know, you just like going on this rant of just like cuss words and just like, you know, honestly, just, you know, at least personally wishing the worst on this person. And then you like mm-hmm. have to come back around and be like, all right, let's assess the situation. Like, what happened? But at that point, like, you severed that connection or that whatever, if you want to call it a connection or that conversation. And then also it's mm-hmm. like, who does that help? You know, I see, I'm just getting wound up thinking about it. So,
I mean,
it's like,
Go ahead.
No, please. Is it too late at that point? You know, I wonder, like, what, and at what point, like, you know, does it get to that point because you feel as though the person isn't listening, isn't hearing, isn't reciprocating the way that you want them to? And if it is them not reciprocating the way that you want them to, well, tough luck, man. That's life. That's democracy. Not everyone's going to agree with you. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's, at what point is it physical? I think once it's physical, and I definitely I echo what they're, you know, both Michelle and Annalise were saying, that it's like, yeah, your head starts to hurt, you know, your stomach hurts, you know, it's like your paws get sweaty, knees weak, arms heavy, all sorts of stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, if anyone else wants to call in, talk about what emotional labor means to them and how do you know when it's worth doing, how do you know when you've done too much, you can give us a call, 503-231-8187. One thing that brought up what you were saying, Tammy, for me in my brain was part of emotional labor is also like suppressing your own reaction to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm somebody, and I have been since I was a child, I'm like a frustrated crier. Like if things get too high for me, I get too anxious. It's just tears. And it doesn't mean that I'm like, I'm like out of control, you know, but it's just like, that's the release for me, you know, because I've never really been somebody to like, you know, freak out and go get really angry at someone else. But one thing that I've like tried to work on, I guess, is like not entirely suppressing those emotions. Like if someone's saying something that's like terrible to you, but maybe you're in like a professional setting or there's some other kind of limitation where you can't really let somebody have what's due to them, that like acknowledging or at least saying like, that's making me feel kind of angry, like that's frustrating, I'm not sure I can have this conversation with you right now, I don't think we're having a good faith discussion, I really came in here wanting to talk about this thing, it seems like you're here to talk about this other thing, that doesn't work for me. And acknowledging that, yeah, acknowledging it in the moment, because otherwise you end up in the shower a week later and you're like, why didn't I say any of that stuff? You know, maybe not the harshest stuff, shouldn't say that part, but why didn't I express how I was really feeling? Now this person thinks that conversation that we had was totally fine. They thought that I was fine with that. And that is like the part that churns my guts is, you know, somebody thinking that I was okay with something that I really wasn't okay with. Yeah, no, they're not.
Yeah. Communicate how you feel, how they're making you feel, why you feel the way that, you know, I think especially saying something like this conversation, I don't feel like we're, you know, in good faith, like, because they might just be looking at you and you have a blank expression, meanwhile on the inside you're like, you know, you've killed them like 10 times over, so
yeah, right.
Yeah, to just be, yeah, and it could be simple thing as a misunderstanding, you know, honestly, like it really, really could be just a misuse of a word or just a misunderstanding because or it could be that you're in totally different polar opposites, but good faith discussion is, yeah, and I think it goes back to the neighborly thing, our obligation to our neighbors and good faith discussions, you know, and not being contrarian, you know.
Right. And are you invested in that future relationship?
Exactly. You know? The value of the relationship over the feeling, you know, like over the emotional labor. Although, you know, now more and more online, I see that people are, in the clip that we heard that she mentioned that, you know, minority groups have to do a lot of emotional labor. And I see more and more now with the grassroots organizing, people are actually being paid and there are, you know, GoFundMes and stuff like that for you know, speakers, Black speakers, LGBTQ speakers, just all sorts of different minority groups, you know, like for that emotional labor of discussing, mm-hmm. you know, their traumas or, you know, just like different things that constitute what emotional labor would be. But I think that some things are, I don't know how much you can definitely put a number. I mean, for me personally, I'm just saying, you know, there could probably be a number and I'll be like, okay, I'll tell you about my childhood trauma. Sure. But it's an ongoing thing. And when it's not solicited and when it could be overwhelming, you know, but it could be very rewarding too, I think. But it could be very hard to do.
Right. And at least having some kind of like compensation, whether or not, you know, because we don't have a great scale for how much emotional labor is worth, you know. Is it worth minimum wage? Probably not.
Yeah, when you look at it in the day to day, like in the labor, in the sense of like working labor, you know, mm-hmm. baristas, you know, like all the different waiters, waitresses, all those different types of professions, that there is an emotional label on top of serving food, on top of mixing drinks, you know. And I don't know. I guess that's where like saying fun, quote unquote, fun things. I don't know. I wouldn't want to speak. Maybe like free food. I don't know. I don't know. Some people can be pretty horrible to servers, so I don't think any amount of free pasta can like make up for that, you know.
right. There is that aspect.
But I wonder. For me personally, when I do exert emotional labor and like have to do that work, most times it's like just the conversation itself and the fact that we went somewhere and that it was flowing and it got to a point. To an elevated point from when it first started, like for me, that's the compensation almost. Like, wow, we right. elevated ourselves together to this next plateau, and you know, and that's the most, I think, you know.
Yeah, that there's room for movement. You know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be that you fully agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
More often, it feels like. You know, things don't get acknowledged or given enough weight in a conversation, especially I think of, you know, of course, political conversations, but conversations or, you know, where like I'm very knowledgeable about a particular topic and engaging somebody who like doesn't know the same amount of stuff about that thing that I know, but I still want to talk to them about it. Like, we don't have to agree on what it means or how we should go about things, but that we can still talk about it. And I think that it goes back to that neighborly conversation, because it's scary to get into a conversation like that if you don't know that that's where it's going to end up. Because it could really go sideways.
We have a caller.
It could, but sure thing. I guess this will be our last caller for this morning. Hello, caller.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I like your new show. At first, I thought it was a little too much at 8 a.m., but anyway, I just want to speak for the people who are doing campaigning right now and doing this phone work and even the text banking, and I'm kind of emotionally worked up right now just thinking about it, but I have to do it. I'm driven to do it. It's like I can't not do it. It's actually, people are saying it's very therapeutic to try to speak to voters and try to sway them or try to move them up a notch, you know, on the scale toward not voting for Trump and that kind of thing. And so, I just realized in this discussion how much emotional labor is involved in that work. And, I'm pretty proud of myself because I'm not somebody who likes to get on the phone and gab and come up with things, right? So that's pretty much what I wanted to say. But then in addition to that, there's the work at home of trying to keep an emotional balance. And when you're with a person much, much, much more than ever happened before, I just realizing the the stress that goes on there, so the work that goes on, and
oh,
then
yeah,
usually
that's a good point.
Yeah, so yeah, you can comment from there. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, we didn't even really touch on the whole emotional labor of working from home, you know, and that's or just from the pandemic itself and what it, I mean, even when you put on a mask, you know, and you realize, yep, this is the world we're living in, you know, it's at least for me personally, it still hasn't fully sunk in, you know, it's like, and you remember and you have to be careful and don't touch, and it's just like, you know, and you think of all, you know, all the people and what's going on, and it's, you know, it's that, you know, just living right now, day to day, I think a lot of us are going through emotional labor, just going
yeah.
through our, you know, our feeds and just talking, you know, so like, but I think it's worth it. And even emotional labor of doing this program, you know, I really appreciate it, because then we get some great, great callers and great conversation. And I feel like the community, I feel closer to the community. So, but yes, we have no more time left. Absolutely no more time. Althea, thank you so much for all of your emotional labor and all of
thank
your
you,
actual
Sammy.
Labor. Ty, thank you so much in the studio. Appreciate
you
so much. This has been The Gap. I'm Tammy, and have a fantastic, amazing weekend. Take care of yourselves. Stay Portland strong.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
Hiring a program director to manage our programming department. This full-time position requires proven experience in program directing, radio audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers.